Well, good morning. It's great to be here with you all again this morning. As was said earlier, my name's Brian, and I'm privileged to serve across a region of churches. I help to give leadership and oversight to a region of churches in the family of churches called the Brethren in Christ, of which you all are a vital part. So it's cool to be with you this morning. So I may be a bit of a stranger outsider, but to me, you all feel like family. And so it's great to be here this morning. Thank you for being a part of this larger family. Thanks for being Jesus to your local community, to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, coworkers, perfect strangers you meet on the street. Thanks for participating in what our larger family does together, the ministry we have in common, for supporting Jesus initiatives literally all over the world, across our country, and right here in your local area in this region. In fact, over the last number of days, I don't know if you've known this or not, but you have been involved in helping a couple come from Arizona to this area to check out starting a new church in the Allentown area. Do you know that? You all did that just in the last couple of days. How about that? Pat yourselves on the back, do it to a neighbor, something like that. You were actually a part of that. So this region of churches, we plant churches together. We start new churches because we believe churches and what Jesus, how Jesus is expressed through churches, are the hope of the world. And that when we start new ones in new areas particularly, then new people can come to learn about the grace and love of Jesus. So that's something we do together. You all have been a part of it, and just one of the new things that's happened in the last couple days. The church hasn't started yet, but I, for one at least, am believing that it will. Thanks. It's great to serve together in that way. And I'm excited to be here this morning, to be able to share the message with you this morning, but I'm also excited because I get the privilege of sharing with Dustin and his family, your pastor, another step in ministry for him, another commitment in ministry. This morning, us together here are going to be ordaining Dustin. And so that's a part in this licensing process. It's kind of a next step. And as I thought about that, I thought a few of you might be sitting out here and you're thinking, well, I don't even know what in the world that is, but that guy married me a few years. Does that mean that's not legal? Yes. If in the last 5 to 6 years he married you, you're living in sin. Just totally messing. Actually, in the BIC, we have a licensing process. And being licensed is one of those things that starts at the beginning. That's happened a while ago. That's really the overall church's affirmation on a person, saying, yes, a person in this role, we believe God has called him or her to do that. Ordination is kind of a next step in that. After you've served for a while, it's more a personal commitment in some ways. It starts with the person saying, yes, I believe this is what God is calling me to for as far as I can see into the future. This doesn't mean, you know, we haven't asked him to sign in blood or anything. This is what I'm doing for the rest of my life. But I am called to be someone who is in ministry as a vocation, essentially, because we're all to be in ministry. No difference among any of us. But Dustin has sensed that. And then you all as a local church, usually through your leadership, affirm that. And then the blessing is given by the overall church as well. So that's a next step in ministry that Dustin is taking this morning. And we're going to be celebrating that this morning as we get moving through that. And so as I was thinking of this message, that was kind of on my mind as I was preparing and as I was thinking about what I would share as he takes this next step in commitment. And then I remembered, okay, so I need to speak a message to Dustin. But then I thought, it's just not going to be he and I in the room. Like, all of you are going to be here as well. And, like, I have this message for him. But, and so I thought, well, maybe the rest of you could listen in. You know, occasionally, you might even get something out of it. God does crazy things every now and again when we open ourselves up to him that even though I'm pretty much, it's just going to be Dustin and I'll just look at him the entire time, God occasionally can share things with us as well as we're a part of that. So feel free, since you're here, to listen to. Every so often, there are pastors who their influence extends beyond the church where she or he serves. So it might not just be a local body, but multiple bodies. And every so often, maybe it's the person does some writing and that becomes known, or they're speaking and they're such a communicator that that becomes known, and they become known across a wider area, and more people become aware of who they are. Well, one of those types of pastors died just a few months ago. His name was Eugene Peterson. And in some ways, he was known as a pastor's pastor. He wrote some things and spoke and shared in such a way that he really encouraged lots of people who are in vocational ministry over the years. And he wrote other books and things, and maybe you've heard of him, maybe you've heard him speak. One of the reasons you may have heard of him is because at one point in his life, he undertook to translate the Bible in a way that brought out the story of the Bible. It's called the Message version of the Bible. If you've ever read that or you've heard that quoted, that was Eugene Peterson. But just recently he died. It was just in the fall of last year. And right before his death, his son shared some of the things that they were talking about. And I'm not sure it was one of the last things he said to his son, but it's one of the last things that's recorded that he said. And he was talking to his son, and he was referencing this ministry of being a pastor, and he said this: "It just seems so sacred that they trust me so much. It just seems so sacred that they trust me so much." I've given that line a little thought. I mean, clearly Peterson is reflecting back over a lifetime of pastoral ministry, of serving people. It just seems so sacred that they trust me so much. In some ways, this reflects the life of a pastor. There's a level of trust between people and a pastor that's sacred. Sacred meaning it reflects who God is. Rightly or wrongly, this is the reality. And it's a reality that comes with responsibility. If we follow Jesus, whether you serve as a pastor or not, if we follow Jesus, we all possess this to some degree or another. So when referencing this about a pastor, it's not to make one person or one role in the church more important or more significant than any other, because the church is a body, and all of us make up that body, and all of us are needed. But there are roles within that body. At least as we express it in the Brother in Christ, pastor is one of those. And in that role, when things go on in the life of a pastor, it impacts more than just him or her, his or her family. It impacts the larger family of the church as well, and can have significant benefits or consequences for people that he or she hardly even knows. And many of you give that to your pastor here, to Dustin. You give that trust. And what that creates is something of consequence. I think that's one area Peterson was reflecting back on. As he came to the end of his time here on earth, that sacred trust, there's a responsibility, one that shouldn't be taken lightly. And from personal experience, it's a responsibility that can't possibly be carried out well by any person. In and of ourselves, none of us ultimately have what it takes. So that leads me to the question, how do we do it? How does one maintain the secret sacredness of that trust? And again, I am intending to share with Dustin this morning, but you all get the benefit of overhearing it. Because this morning I plan to reveal a big secret of how to do so. I figure he's been kind of just slugging along long enough now, I ought to tell him the secret and help him kind of get to the next level here with things. And really, this is sort of the insider trading stuff. And I hesitated even to share it with all of you because it is such a big secret. But I think, you know, listen, you rolled out of bed this morning. Some of you crossed borders, literally national borders, to get here. And so I'm thinking, all right, might as well just kind of open it up. But here's what we need to do. Can we turn off the tape for the rest of this? Because, I mean, tape. Man, that showed my age. Do you all do things digitally here? Maybe. I had my 8-track in earlier. And so, because what I'm about to share is really the secret of how we do it. So I'm figuring you're here. just expect this. This is just going to be included as the price of admission, okay? Kind of a bonus type of deal. Now, full disclosure, I've said all of that stuff. I actually am not even the one that came up with this. I'm just plagiarizing off somebody else. It's a guy named Paul, actually. Paul, a guy who had this life-altering encounter with Jesus. He's really the one that wrote this down, that kind of revealed it to the rest of us. And rather than me describe it to you, I actually just want to read how he framed it, what he wrote. So I'm going to read from the Bible a letter that this guy named Paul wrote to a group of Jesus followers back numbers and numbers of years ago in an ancient city called Colossae. So the letter ended up being named for those people. It's a letter called Colossians. If you're the type that likes to look at the text when we read, you can turn on your Bibles, you can open them up. We're going to be looking to Colossians 1, 25 through 27, and this is where we're going to spend a little time. We're going to focus in on these verses to figure out the secret. So Colossians 1, 25 through 27. Here's what Paul writes to this group of people. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, picking up in the middle of what Paul is writing, as you look at those words, you realize very quickly we're going to have to glance back to see what the words were became before this, because Paul writes, I have become its servant. And without looking at the verses before, you have no idea what it is. What Paul references just prior to this verse is the body of Christ, which he describes is the church, the called out ones, those who are following Jesus. As they gather together, they form a body, the body of Jesus. And Paul wants to make sure these people understand that he is a servant of that church and of Jesus. That's what he's all about. But it didn't just happen randomly or by coincidence. No, in fact, it was brought on, it was given by the commission of God. Now, that word commission is interesting. In the original language that these words were written in, that was a key word, commission. We get our English word economy from it. So commission carries with it this idea of management or stewardship of assets. In fact, if you know any of the stories that Jesus told, the same word is used in one of the stories Jesus tells where a master gives his servants something. He entrusts his servants with this bit of money, and they're to work the money and they're to use the money, but it's for the master's benefit. So the master has entrusted something into the hands of servants. It's not theirs, but it's in their hands, and they're to work it for his benefit. That's the same word that's used here, or the same base, anyhow, of this word, that Paul has been given this commission. So in this case, what Paul has been given, or what he says he's been given, is that he's to present this to God's people, the church, and what he's been given was the Word. And the Word of God in all its fullness. Now, to me, this is where these verses get a little interesting. He's been given the Word of God in all its fullness. If he is now to present the Word of God in all its fullness, what does that say about what has come before? I mean, God has been in relationship with people for years and years, decades, generations prior to this, particularly with his people, the nation of Israel, for a long, long time by this point in history. In fact, the only reason Paul knew anything about God prior to a transformation in his life was because he was a part of the Israelite nation. And he had grown up knowing these things about God, how to be in community with God. And God has been revealing himself in multiple ways through the years. But now Paul says he's to present the Word of God in all its fullness. What does that imply about what came before? Well, it implies that maybe Just maybe the totality of God's Word and what He was all about hadn't yet been fully revealed. That maybe there was an understanding and a revelation of God, but it wasn't fully. Almost like we're looking at a painting, but we're looking at it through kind of foggy lenses. Or if I don't have these little contacts in my eyes, I have glasses, and any of you wear glasses, you know how sometimes they just get covered with stuff and you're like trying to look at things and you can see it, it's out there, but it's just not clear anymore. You're kind of looking at it and there's spots and things that you think that can't possibly be part of what that's to look like, but yet I can't see anything different because the lenses I'm looking at just aren't clear. Pretty much verse 26 in our passage goes on to say as much. Paul says that is the case. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations. Ooh, mystery, huh? You picking up what Paul's throwing down here? There's a bit of mystery. And he's saying that God has made himself known throughout time and generations, but now there's something more. There's a mystery, or another word that could be translated by is secret. There's a secret, and it's a long-term secret. But now that secret has been disclosed or revealed to God's people. And that idea is really the heart of what Paul wants to communicate here. There is a secret that is no longer a secret because the secret has been revealed. Have any of you ever watched the show Fixer Upper on HGTV? You know, Chip and Joe renovating houses around Waco, Texas. Now, I realize it's not on anymore, so if you haven't seen it, you're going to have to go back and, you know, look at Netflix or something to figure it out. But you know what caught me first about that show? Long before I could walk into Target and see Joe's designs and all of those things, or long before I became a fan of her style or Chip's humor, what caught me about that show was how they revealed the house at the end. So I remember actually seeing previews of this. And so essentially, if you don't know what that show is, it's Fixer Upper. So they work with houses. They take old, rundown, sometimes dilapidated houses. They fix them up to the point where, at least for me, I'd rather have one of those houses than a brand new one sitting right beside it. Like, that's how cool they seem to be anyhow. And they do all of those things. And at the very end of the show, they have this great reveal for the homeowners. But here's what happens. Long before they renovate and rejuvenate and fix up, they take a picture of the front of the house. They blow that picture up to almost life size. They put it on two large screens that have wheels on them, and they put those in front of the house. So they bring the homeowners out, say, close your eyes. It's going to be time. We've got this big reveal. And okay, you ready to see your home? Oh, yeah, we can't wait. We can't wait. Here it is. Here it is. Open our eyes. And they see the picture of the old house right in front of them. So Chip and Joe have their good laugh and all of those things. And then they go to either side of the screen, see their two parts, and split down the middle. And they say, they ask this question. You know the question? You ready to see your fixer-upper? Cue the music. And boom, they pull apart, and there's their brand new house, kind of. Their fixer-upper. And it's amazing, and it's this huge reveal. That's the thing that actually caught me first about that show. I thought, wow, how creative, how cool, that reveal at the end of what has now been transformed. Paul writes, I'm a servant of the church because God has entrusted me, commissioned me to be so that I can present the Word of God in all its fullness. Over the ages and ages and ages, there's been a bit of a mystery about that. It's been a secret. But now, Paul writes, it's being disclosed. It's being revealed. Cue the music. Imagine Chip and Joe standing on either side, ready to pull those screens back. But this time, you know who's pulling them back? It's God. He's pulling back the screens on all of history and of who He is. God is choosing to make known, to reveal to this group of people who He truly is. And the group of people who are receiving this aren't the traditional ones that always have. They aren't this one group of people, the Israelites, who will receive this message and then pass it on to everybody else. No, this new group that God is forming, this new body, is full of Israelites or Jewish people and non-Jewish people or Gentiles. Probably the majority of us. Those groups together, meaning everybody, are forming one group, a new people, a new body. Jews and Gentiles being remade into one body, and God has chosen to reveal the glorious riches of His mystery. This mystery, this secret. You ready for the secret? It's the full picture. It's what it's all about. Here's the secret. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ or Jesus in you, the hope of glory. Another translation of the Bible phrases it this way. And the secret is simply this. Christ in you, yes, Christ in you bringing with Him the hope of all the glorious things to come. Think about that idea of glory. We sang it in some of the songs earlier. That imagery of glory, and it certainly contains the idea of richness or this shimmering beauty. But you know the other thing glory brings with it? It really means, too, an essence or the core of something. And so when we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about the essence of who God is. That's the secret. That's the message. Jesus, God, living in us, taking up residence, Christ in you, we can be full participants. And there's definitely a personal aspect to this message. Christ in you, Christ in me. But the word you is actually plural in how it's written. So what we actually need is the southern version of the Bible. Christ in y'all, the hope of glory. That's actually what Paul is writing here. Christ in y'all, as in the body, the church. So back to our original question, the place where this all started. How do we do this? How does a pastor maintain that trust and live up to that trust? Let me tell you the secret. Christ in you. For any of us who follow Jesus, to be and do the people that God desires us to be. How is that even possible? How do we do it? The secret is simply this. Christ in you. The hope of glory. See, it all points to Jesus. Because although we have focused on a trust between people, or with a person who has the role of a pastor, really, there's only one who is worthy of that level of trust. And it's Jesus. As another one of those influential pastors whose kind of influence has gone beyond a local church has said, you know, when somebody predicts their own death and resurrection and then actually does it, that's someone we should pay attention to. You see, Jesus, hanging out with his close friends, predicted multiple times that he was going to die. Not so crazy, huh? I mean, here, that I'm going to die, short of Jesus coming back first. I predict that I'm going to die. All of you probably believe me at this point. So, okay, Jesus did that. No different than any of us. Then he got a little crazier. And then he said, and I'm going to be brought back to life. I'm coming back to life. Now, still, if you're listening to him, you think, all right, that's getting a little wacky. But yet, you're still not overwhelmed by anything because I could say the same thing. I'm not going to, but I could. And you just kind of disregard me and you'd move on. But here's the crazy part of the story. Yes, Jesus predicted that he was going to die. Yes, Jesus predicted that he was going to come back to life. And then guess what? It happened. When somebody predicts their death and they're going to come back to life, that's the person we need to be listening to. That's the person in which we can place our trust. He's the real deal. That's why he's the secret. That's why the picture wasn't quite as clear for so many years until the clarifier came.
Jesus brought the clear picture of God, that high-def version, the one worthy of our trust, so that when we join our lives to that one, and He lives through us, lives in us through the Holy Spirit, it's a game changer. It's in vital unity with Jesus that we can be changed. And when we bring that together as a group of people, and what Jesus is doing in you combines with what Jesus is doing in me, and we live that out as a community, as the people God intends us to be, Jesus empowering us to live out His love, His grace, together and for others, that's how we do it. Christ in y'all, that's the secret. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that's why when I said this message was for Dustin, it wasn't actually just for him. He's a part of it. But it's only because he's a part of the body. And he's a part of us all. You see, it's a secret that's no longer a secret, and it hasn't been a secret for a long time. Jesus came to bring Himself to us, and in doing so, bring God. In Jesus, in that relationship, you, me, we can become new, a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, we can produce characteristics and traits in our lives that are a bit foreign to the soil we're typically planted in. Traits like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I don't know about you, but that list doesn't typically describe me. But you see, the secret is simply this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. Dustin, those of you who follow Jesus here in this local body of Christ described as Fairland BIC, I encourage you, I implore you, receive the secret. Live in vital unity with Jesus. May Jesus impact your life, my life, in such a way, to such an extent, that we are worthy of that sacred trust. Proclaim the secret, because it's not a secret any longer. It hasn't been for a long time, and it isn't meant to be. It isn't meant to be stored up in me, or stored up in you, or even stored up in this group together. It's meant to be proclaimed, revealed. And may the overflow of our lives, yours and mine, what this secret produces in us, as that overflows to others, may others notice, but not just notice, desire that same thing for themselves. Let's pray to that end. Jesus, we believe that You are actually that secret. But You're not meant to be a secret. Yes, when Paul was writing, this was a mystery, and people are wondering, what's going on now? What is God doing now? Jesus, You said You were going to die. You said You were going to rise again. And then You did it. Through the power of God, You did it. And that same power, the Holy Spirit, is available to you, to all of us here today. And so for those of us who have yet to fully give our lives to You, may even in these moments, may we be open to what You might want to do in us for the first time. May we be open to handing the reins of our life over to You and trusting You and what You've done on our behalf. For those of us who have done that, may again, even this morning, may we be reminded of how and why we can actually live the lives You designed us to live. It's not because of who I am or anyone else is here. It's because of You in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. May we live that well together. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite Dustin and Rachel to come up, and we're going to have a little time of commitment where I'm going to ask them some questions of commitment before you all. And then at the end of that time, we're going to have a time of prayer for them, and then we'll wrap up with a closing song.
But as I said before, this is a part of the process, a part of the journey within the Brethren in Christ Church that Dustin is coming to be ordained this morning. And so it is certainly my pleasure to be a part of that and to serve alongside the two of you in this. So, Dustin, Rachel Fairland, BIC, it was with great pleasure that on behalf of the people of this congregation, I present Dustin Slater to be ordained for Christian ministry along with his spouse, Rachel, who stands with him in this work. Dustin, for some time now, you have served God and the church in Christian ministry. You have completed a course of study. You have satisfied the commission on ministry and doctrine that you are of sound faith and gifted to minister the word. You have the support of this congregation as you have moved towards this day. You're acquainted with the Brethren in Christ and its beliefs, and you are aware of the work to which you have been called, both here and beyond. So as you come to this time of ordination, please answer the following questions of commitment. Do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and acknowledge Him to be the Lord of the world and the head of the church? If so, please respond, I do.
I do.
And do you believe that the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be the inspired Word of God, and that they are unique, the unique witness to Jesus Christ and God's authoritative word for your faith, life, and ministry? If so, please respond, I do.
I do.
Do you receive and endorse our church's teachings and practices as faithful to the principles of the Holy Scriptures? If so, please respond, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the government and polity of our church, and are you willing to be guided thereby? Think carefully. If so, please respond, I do.
I do.
Do you assume the responsibility to preach and teach God's word with love and boldness, to minister to the needs of all people without partiality, and to build up the body of Christ? If so, please respond, God helping me, I do.
God helping me, I do.
A few more. Will you be diligent in prayer and in the study of Scriptures? Will you seek to model the Christian life among the people whom you serve, at least for this time, this group of people? If so, please respond, God helping me, I do.
God helping me, I do.
And will you seek to be directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit in order that you may faithfully minister before the Lord among His people? If so, please respond, I will.
I will.
And for you, Rachel, as you stand here with Dustin, do you declare your commitment to love and follow Jesus, to minister to all people, and declare your support of Dustin and the ministry to which he is called? And do you purpose to walk together with him as he ministers, laboring with him as you have gifts and opportunities? Please, if so, please respond, God helping me, I do.
God helping me, I do.
Well then, it is my honor and privilege to say to you, Dustin, in the name of the Lord, by the authority of the Brethren in Christ Church, I commit to you the responsibilities and privileges of ordination to Christian ministry and declare you ordained as a member of the gospel of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dustin and Rachel have some family here, so as we pray, I'm going to invite them up. Actually, Dustin's father, Doug, is going to be praying for him, and so I'm going to invite Isaac and Audrey up as well. Dustin shared with me they'd really want to come up in front of you all, and so they're going to come up, and your parents are here, your brother's here, I think a nephew's here, and family, come on up, and we'll... And then I would invite you, just as a sign of your affirmation of Dustin and his ministry, that you would stand, if you would, as Doug Sr. prays for us.
Father, we give thanks for Dustin and Rachel, remembering the day that He came as a gift to this world. Remembering the day that He gave His life to you, we recall the day that He sensed your call upon His life. And then we recall the time, the season, and you brought Rachel and Dustin together and their beautiful family, Isaac and Audrey. We as parents and family and friends know their sincere, genuine love for you. And on this very incredible occasion, when he is and she together have been called out by God, commissioned through our bishop and the church, into ministry today. We now pray your love, our love over them, asking that you always protect them, protect Dustin, always protect him, put fences of protection around him and around them as a couple and family. I also pray that you will fill him, what exactly that means, full of the Holy Spirit. And Rachel as well. And I also pray that you will enlarge their ministry beyond anything they can imagine or think or dream. That you will take his imperfections, as we all have, and perfect them through the Holy Spirit, using him and them gloriously in the expanded kingdom of God, making a difference for this life and the lives of people and for all of eternity. So Dustin, we pray over you, the Spirit of God, the love of God, the protection of God, the enlargement of God over you and Rachel and your family. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.